All right, we got a different morning here, just in case you hadn't noticed. Something looks a little unusual up here, but we'll talk, not that they look unusual. Didn't want to make that mistake. They look fine. But before I introduce them, I want to, let me share one of my all-time favorite scriptures. It's out of 2 Corinthians, the second letter that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15. It's been a verse that has guided my life for over 40 years, so much so I have it tattooed on my right arm, but we won't show that. I don't want to overwhelm you with all my muscles, so we won't go there. But why is everyone laughing about that? That's a very serious thing. Anyway, it says, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced, Paul was convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live, those who are now alive, should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. And I really appreciate this verse, and it's been a framework for me, a guiding principle, a guiding truth for me all these years. Christ died, and we all, when we believe in him, we experience the death. We died in Christ, with Christ. When he rose, we rose with him. We've been given new life. That's what faith in Christ is all about, dying and rising with Christ. And then he says, and he did this so that we would no longer live for themselves. So Brad would no longer live for himself, but for Christ who died for him and was raised again. And so in a way, Paul is asking us or telling us, this is how you should live. And then, of course, we have to figure out how do we do that. And that's what the Bible's all about. That's what the New Testament's about. And that's really our focus this morning. It's sort of like before we know Christ, we're dead on the spiritual operating table. And God, through his Son, takes the defibrillator and zaps us and brings us back to life. Otherwise, we would have been dead. We would be heading for hell. And so God has been merciful and given us life. And so we're in this series, this short series, four-week series, called The Devotional Life. And our goal is to very practically ask and answer the question, well, how do we do that? How do we live for Jesus? How do we know him better? How do we love him more? How do I stop living for myself and start living for Christ instead? And it's definitely a journey. How do I love him more? How do I trust him more frequently? How do I rest in him more peacefully? And how do I regard God more highly? It's sort of the challenge of the Christian life. So we want to be very practical in this series. And this morning, we've got these three dear friends of mine and friends of yours up here this morning. We've got Chris Boyd. She and her husband, Mike, have been here for 20-some years. They've been friends of ours, of my wife and me. And got Trey. Happy Father's Day. Trey Mason. He's got three beautiful little kids with his wife, Kristen. And then Nancy Gorley and her husband, Chad, and their two kids. So I really appreciate these three. I've known them all at least 20 years. Trey, since youth group, you were here with my girls in youth group, and so I've known him that long. So they've all been part of Stonebrook for at least 20 years and been walking with the Lord for many years, and so I really appreciate their lives. And so we're just going to have a conversation this morning about what does it look like to walk with Jesus, all the good parts, all the bad parts, the high points, the low points of the Christian life, and they're just going to share their stories with you because they're just like all the rest of us. They're going through this journey together and trying to figure it all out and doing this as we do this together as a church. So we're going to spend some time this morning talking about what many call the spiritual disciplines or the spiritual practices. And they're not spelled out in a nice bullet list. I've got a bullet list up here, but it's not quite that clear in the scriptures. But we have to say that there are some very significant parts that God has called us to, significant activities, if you will, or disciplines. Certainly the Word of God. That's whether I pick up my own Bible in the morning and read it, or whether we gather here on a Sunday morning, or whether we study it together with friends in a Bible study. All kinds of ways we do that. We memorize, we meditate on the Word. It's the very words of God that's intended to bring us life. And then we certainly have prayer, we have worship. And in prayer, we have certainly our supplication. We're making requests of God. In worship, we have song, we have adoration of God, we have thanksgiving. We're making confession, a confession of our sins to the Lord, and just trying to walk with him in a conversation with God. We have other things. We have evangelism, service to others, whether that's service in the church or out in the community or even in the workplace. That's really part of our serving the Lord and serving our world is in our day-to-day jobs. Then we have fellowship, whether it's Sunday morning, community groups, just one-on-one coffee time with someone. And then we have giving. It's an aspect of our spiritual disciplines, solitude, time alone with God. We get on a personal retreat or just a quiet solitude time with God in the mornings on a day-to-day basis. Many other ways we can practice out this faith, but those are just a list, and we'll be kind of probably hear us talking about those things here in the next few minutes. So before I interview them, before I interrogate them and torture them with really hard questions, we better pray for them and for all of us here this morning. So let's pray. Lord, I'm so grateful that you've sent your Son. We were dead. Ephesians 2 says we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were gone. We were following our own flesh, the ways of the world, the ways of the devil. But then out of your great mercy, your great love and your rich mercy, you've given us life. You've breathed life into us through your Son, through faith in the Son of God. And Lord, thank you for that life. And this morning I pray that you would help us all, whether we're speaking or listening, you would help us to find ways where we can walk in a greater intimacy, a greater love, a greater obedience to you, to take you seriously and to take you joyfully for all that you've done for us. So grant us your favor here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let me get rolling, and I'll just throw this question out really to all three of you, if you want to grab your microphones. Give me a couple of sentences that would describe your spiritual walk, the spiritual disciplines. What does it look like in a typical week for you guys? Well, let's just start with you, Chris.
Well, I guess one of my biggest things I do is I turn on my Christian radio station when I first get up. And so it's like pumping music and scripture into my day right away. But then I also take time to journal, and I have some time alone where I read, you know, scripture and just basically a song that spoke to my heart. The battle belongs to him, and it says in the chorus about being on my knees, fight the battle on my knees with my hands lifted up, and really spoke to me that I needed to be on my knees every single day. So that's something that's part of my quiet time.
Amen. Amen. Good. Trey, what's a daily walk with you look like?
Yeah. So I think for me, my start is also very audio driven. I need to start my day with the word. And I found pretty early on that if it doesn't happen before I shower, sometimes while I shower, if I'm not listening to the word, then it's really hard to get it done the rest of the day. So that's worked out for me. I use the YouTube version Bible app, and there's one called the Bible Project, which is phenomenal because you get these like little devotionals of videos that like say, hey, this is what you're about to read, and give you some like theology and just some really good stuff. So that's been big for me. I also just pray with my kids. That's been a big thing before meals, before bedtime. I want them to kind of catch that as well. And then once a week, I try to get extended prayer. It's really helped to have brothers alongside. So I'm not a morning person, but these guys are like, hey, could you wake up at 6 a.m. and pray with us for an hour? And I didn't want to do it at first, but it's been super rewarding. That's the best way to kick off a Friday. Early, so these 100-degree days, weather feels nice. So,
yeah, good. Yeah. How about you, Nancy?
I'm not really a morning person either, but I'm finding in the last couple of years that getting up early is the best time before the day gets started. And the last couple months, with the weather being nicer, even going out for a walk to be able to get that quiet and prayer time in first, and then I'm a lot more alert when I come back to read back in my kitchen table, just reading from the 1 year or through, I like to do the proverb a day, the day of the month that it is, read that proverb and just kind of start out the day with some wisdom. So that's kind of what it's looking like right now.
So let's go back. You've all known Jesus for many years. Let's go back in time. How did you first learn these things? Who taught you? Did you just pick them up on your own? Did someone teach you these things? Let's start back with you, Nancy. Where did all this begin? And then maybe just briefly how that's transitioned. Well, let's hold on the second. Let's just start. And how did you start? How did you learn these things? We'll start with that, and then I'll ask another question.
Yeah, so I got saved when I was really young, but I went to Sunday school and, you know, vacation Bible school and all of good teaching that way, but I didn't really do anything outside of that on my own until I came to college, and I didn't know what it meant to have a personal walk with the Lord. And so God, in his goodness, hooked me up with some believers in my first week at Iowa State. And so I got in a Bible study, and that's when they started teaching me what it meant to have a quiet time or a daily devotional time to be intentional about, whether it's studying a book of the Bible or whatever our Bible study was going through at the time. And so that, I think, in college is when I first started having more personal devotion and seeing the need for that. And then after I graduated and was working and just kind of seeking out, whether it was a women's study or whatever it was, something to like feed that time and give me focus in a daily time with the Lord.
So. Okay. Dre, how about you?
Yeah, I'll keep it pretty simple. I set foot in these doors maybe in 1999. Trevor Schwartz was a really good friend of mine at the time and still is. And he just said, hey, I go to Stonebrook. God has a crazy good story. I'm going to spare you the details. I'll tell you about it later if anyone wants to approach me. But getting in here, it was immediate youth group. I was like, this Tim Hibbing guy seems like he has a lot of energy. I'd kind of like to be like him someday. That seems pretty cool. And then met his dad, Bob, and I was like, oh, this is why this guy loves Jesus. And so Tim and Bob were really big in my life. And then also Craig McClanahan in the youth group, just wonderful seeing these guys that were devoted. They took vows in their life, and they stuck behind them and just loved the Lord.
So were there particular habits that you learned from them that helped you start that journey?
Yeah, good. Get back to the actual question, right? Yeah.
that's fine.
I just got to live, experience life with them and see them just loving the Lord. I remember one time traveling out to Colorado to watch a men's high school wrestling. One of the Whitney kids was wrestling, and just Tim just talking about the Lord the whole way, you know. So I was just like, okay, like I need to be in the Word and praying, and we just do that all together, and it overflowed in my own life.
Yeah. Cool. Chris, how about you? How did it all begin?
Well, I like Nancy. I went to Sunday school, vacation Bible school, and stuff like that. I had devotion time off and on in my younger years. But truthfully, same thing, same story. When I hit Stonebrook and started hearing the messages here and stuff, it just really connected me way deeper to the Word, to the Lord. And I was even thinking like our life group, you know, how we go through the questions sometimes or just are in the Word together and to hear other people and what they think about the Word. And really taught me how to pray out loud in the life group setting and stuff like that. But yeah, Stonebrook's had a huge impact.
Cool. Let's talk, how has it changed? Let's say 20 years ago or whenever you first began more earnestly walking with Jesus, how have those habits, those disciplines changed or deepened, or have they just remained the same? Any thoughts on that, Chris?
Definitely have deepened. As I just grow older and just grow stronger in my faith, and I just really feel like I crave more time with him. When I was younger, maybe I didn't put the importance on it as much, or maybe even you're so busy with your kids and things like that, like Trey mentioned praying with your kids, and like we did that, you know, did devotions with the kids and things like that, but maybe didn't have as much time myself being devoted to him, to giving him the time to just sit and listen and just be with him.
Okay. Terry or Nancy, any changes over those years, and what's that look like today compared to, let's say, 10 or 20 years ago?
Yeah, are we just keeping the rotation?
It looks like it, yeah.
Makes it
structure. I it's definitely changed for me. One of my big things for my entire life, and I still fight it today, it was just a fear of man. I can highly relate to the just polishing the outside of the mug and the inside just grimy and dirty and crummy. And so just that fear of man, like I want people to perceive me as perfect, even though I'm like dying inside. That was, I'd say that was actually why I probably would do some of these spiritual habits in the first place, was just to check a box off to be like, hey, I got in the Word, I prayed, like, look at me. And I think now I don't have that same fear of man. It's still there, but it's definitely different. And I really desire to please God instead of please others. So that's really helped deepen that. For me, Edge Venture was really big in kind of coming to that point where I was like, oh, I need to be real and authentic and honest. And I've just been met with grace and love and mercy and in that road. And so this church is very good at loving you in your imperfections. Mm-hmm. And so that's been a huge journey for me.
Yeah, I agree. Things have changed a lot in the last 20 years in my quiet time devotion life. When I was in college and out of college working single, had a lot of extra time, or not extra, had a lot of time that I could choose to use however I wanted. And so I could spend a Saturday just having a lot of solitude and going for prayer walks often. I could journal at night as long as I wanted to, that kind of thing. I wasn't as tired at night. And so as my phases of life have changed, getting married and having children and school and things now, I think the change was actually kind of, at first, kind of discouraging. I would compare, you know, being a new mom with up in the middle of the night, and I was so tired, and I could read the same verse 3 times and not know what I just read because I was just delirious sometimes. And I would think, gosh, I'm not as devoted as I was 5 years ago because I'm not spending an hour with the Lord on a Saturday morning, you know, having these great times. And that was something when I was thinking about this morning, like that discouragement was misplaced, I think. I just was comparing two very different stages of life. And I think God really has shown me over the last number of years that He has a different plan for us right where we are than what He had 5 years ago for us. And so it was great to get to spend a lot of solitude and journaling and spending a lot of quiet, personal, alone time with the Lord. That was wonderful. And it still is when I get little pieces of that. But it's just as wonderful when you're holding a crying baby that won't sleep and you're just pouring out your heart to the Lord at 2 o'clock in the morning when no one else sees you. That's just as precious of a time. It's a lot more tiring of a time, maybe, but it's just as sweet. And I think God really met me there in a way that He wouldn't have met me when I had a different stage of life. So, it's changed a lot.
That's very good. That's good. I appreciate how you mentioned about the transitions of life, because it happens for everyone. And a mom at home is really that way. Sometimes the only way a mom can get alone is lock herself in the bathroom and while the kids are beating on the door, mom, come out. But there are challenges for all of us at different times in life. Let me ask another question to any of you guys, maybe one or two of you want to answer this. Just, is there one important scripture you feel like has really been an anchor for you in your devotional life, your walk with God, something that's been impactful for you that's God has carried? Maybe it's something more recent, but perhaps something that's even carried you for many years. Any one of you three?
The one that I always go back to, I think even since college, because I can struggle with fear, is in Philippians 4, where it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in all things through prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God, and He will give you peace. And I've had that verse in my pocket many times when I've been out doing things that are potentially stress-inducing, and it's just a verse that God's brought back many, many times to pray about all things all the time, washing dishes, changing diapers, in the middle of whatever our day is. That's a good one.
Yeah, good. Either of the other two of you?
One that just comes to my mind a lot is trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. And He uses that whenever. I love that. Those verses too, but that one He uses when I'm anxious too, because it's usually because I'm trying to do something on my own and not in His.
Yeah, very good. Let me change flavor of a question because we all go through hard times, and that tests our faith. That's the purpose of trials. James 1 says we're to consider it pure joy whenever we face trials of many kinds, because that God is testing our faith, and he's trying to develop character, trying to develop godliness and perseverance in us. So tell me about a difficult time in your life and how that challenged your walk with the Lord, but how you were strengthened from that. And we've all had it. It doesn't have to be some huge trial, but just give me an example. It just helps us all connect, because sometimes we can lose heart. We can just think, man, I thought I loved God, and now I'm tested, and I don't know if I believe that anymore. Can you guys give me, any one of you, give me an example of that?
Yeah, I'll be vulnerable. So I think as men, and just with the internet, lust just isn't talked about enough in the church. It's one of those things that, I mean, every guy I talk to has struggled with it, but like people just don't bring it up. And so I think that's where like my big challenge has been, is like, how do you, as a man of God, have things like technology and internet in your home and still protect yourself? And for me, just having a really close group of community group members, very supportive wife, like those have helped. Like I'm constantly confessing my sins to brothers, and it just has to be like a weekly thing. It's like an hourly thing for me, that I'm like, my mind can be totally sober minded, and then I can just have lustful thoughts. And you just gotta, there's some protection stuff that we put up in our own home, but yeah, I think, so working through that, that fear of man, kind of going back to like, I wanted to look perfect on the outside, that really kept me from opening up and really finding any sort of healing in there, any sort of progress. And so in the last maybe 5 years or so, I've just kind of taken the plunge. I recommend you do. You'll be met with love and mercy and grace, and you'll probably find out that people struggle with a lot of the same stuff that you do. But that's really helped in my devotional walk, getting through that hard time.
You mentioned a word, confession. Can you tell me a little bit, what does that look like with you? I know you and some of the men in your community group are pretty tight. You guys talk about very openly, but what does that actually mean? You know, maybe if we're from a Catholic background, all we know is we go to some priest and we pour out things and then we walk away. But there's something different there, I think, that you guys are encountering. Can you tell me a little bit of what that looks like?
Yeah. So our community group does, we call them check-ins. Some people are familiar with this process, but it's really just the question, like, what's on your heart? Like, what's your heart? And we just dive in right away. Like, we don't do the small talk. Like, sometimes there's like, oh yeah, talk about the football game or something, but it's like, hey, let's get in. Let's really, you know, brass tacks, like, let's get down into your heart and just share what is on your heart. So I think confession for us, typically it's something that, like, I'm harboring in my heart that I don't want to, and I need to share it with someone. And just saying, like, this, I know this doesn't line up with what I read in the scripture that my life should be like. So whether it's lust or how you're spending money, or I don't know, just any of the negative thoughts, doubts about God, like that's confession for us. So
yeah,
it's been really, really fruitful, to have in our community group. It does work better for us, gender exclusive. So men confessing to men, women confessing to women. But I think it can be done mixed groups as well.
Yeah, well, your group's been exemplary in that, so I commend you guys for that. Chris or Nancy, any difficult times in your life and how that's tested and stretched your walk with God and how you came through that?
Well, we've had some huge issues, yeah, over the years, lots of different ones. One specifically is Mike's health and the different things we've had to walk through with that. And it just, like, financially took us way down, and we just had to really rely on God to provide. And he did, time and time again, through many good people here. And I mean, we never ever asked anybody to help us, and many people have helped us over the years. And just, I've said before, sometimes I'm actually a little bit more comfortable when I'm going through a trial, which sounds really silly, but I'm very close to the Lord at that time and just really relying on him to just kind of carry me through. And he's kind of been teaching me recently as we go through a season right now with Mike that everything's going okay. We just don't know when they're watching things always in his body, so we don't know when that will change. But just to really enjoy the moment and walk with him in these days filled with joy instead of thinking ahead. But yeah, just the time with him, I think, strengthens you so that when you do walk through those times, yeah, you can have that peace that he talks about.
Yeah. Well, you and Mike have been tremendous examples to me and to my wife and to our community, our old community group, the one you're still in, but tremendous examples of walking by faith through those times. So I appreciate your faith. Nancy, anything to add? Any story of yours? Okay. Let's talk about some of the other spiritual disciplines. I think you guys have already mentioned some of them along the way, but let's focus in on a few others because we've got certainly have the word and prayer and worship. Those would be some of the core things, but let's talk about some other ways that God uses us to draw him to himself. Let me ask about the church. How has the community of faith, let me back up. As a young believer, I'm very independent, person by nature, by upbringing. My mom and dad taught us just to be independent, figure things out. And so I come into the Christian life and I just think it's just me and God. And I didn't believe that entirely, but that would definitely be my leaning and not seeing the value of the community of faith, of all of you, even though I was certainly engaged in the church and engaged in the life of the body of Christ. But give me an example. Tell me a story, an example. You've already alluded to a few. Maybe there's another one of how the community of faith has helped you and how it's helped you to connect with God more, to be more devoted to him. Might be something, whether it's Sunday morning teachings and worship time, our music here, or it could be a small group, maybe an accountability tray like you were talking about, or maybe there's just ongoing Bible studies or someone serving you or you serving them personally. How has being involved in the body of Christ been foundational for that continuing walk with Jesus? Who wants to start?
I've thought about this a number of times, especially when COVID hit and people were really isolated. And I remember saying to Chad and our small group a number of times, like, I don't know how folks who aren't connected in a church, especially a Jesus-loving church, I don't know how this can go for them. That truly our church, our small group especially, is family. We often call them before we call our family members about things that are happening. I've got a close family, biological family, but our small group is so, I love that we continue to meet through the summer and that our kids are good buddies with each other. And we spend time talking about what Sunday morning messages have been, but also just being real and praying for one another and checking in through the week, how's it going, or just whether it's a group text of different things that have happened and praises or prayer requests, that kind of thing. Our culture is so so independent and isolated, and especially the last 2 years there was even more of that. I think it's easy to take for granted how much we have in having a family, a church family, and it really is. I know maybe not all churches are like that, but I'm so blessed by our church and the Sunday morning teachings. I know, and music especially, there were some hard things happening in the fall that I was away from my family, kind of bouncing between two places for a couple weeks, and the music from Sunday morning, God just kept bringing back the lyrics of some songs that he knew I just needed, because I was tired and I wasn't having regular quiet times, but I could play the songs, I could listen to the music and hear those words and just bring that back. So I just yeah, I'm just so thankful for the church that God wants us and knows that we need to be a part of.
Yeah, amen, so. Amen. Trey or Chris?
I think the main thing, like the top most important thing for me, just as I've kind of seen, years go by, I've seen, sadly, some of my really close friends fall away from the faith. They're using the term deconstruction now, which is just really sad. There's really, really close friends that I have that have kind of gone through that. And so for me, the most important thing with the body of church is just reminding us of the why. Like, why do we do this? Why are we here on Sunday? Why are you in these seats? Why do you have community groups? Why are we doing this? And it doesn't really speak to the body, but one of the verses that I really like is 1 Timothy 4, it's around 7. And it just talks about training yourself in godliness, because it has, bodily training is of some value, but godliness is of value in this life and the life to come, so good return on investment. But it goes on to say the why, and it says, well, why do we toil and strive? Because we believe in the living God, the Savior of all people. And like, we need to be reminded of that daily if possible. And the community group, the community of the church, Sunday mornings reminds us of the why. Like, we're here, it's not our identity, it's because of Christ, it's because of the cross. You need to be reminded that, it's not just about you. And I think people lose sight of that. We're just designed to be like the people we're around. And if you're not around people that are talking about Jesus, then, you lose sight of that. So I think that's been the big one. There's been plenty of other things, but I think that kind of takes the cake for me for what the community of the church is supposed to remind us of.
One other way we walk with God besides being in the church, like here on Sunday morning or on a Tuesday night with our community group or other times that those times seem spiritual. We would put quotes and say, well, that's spiritual time, but then I have my non-spiritual time, things at home, you have to mow the lawn, I have to go to work. And it's those other times that God says are spiritual, our whole life. We would say the scriptures teach us what's we would name as the doctrine of vocation. What has God called us to? Maybe it's a stay-at-home mom, maybe it's a worker, a business owner, or a student, whatever that is. How has maybe one of you or two of you have any thoughts on how has God used your day job, I'll call it, whatever you're doing during the day, the non-spiritual stuff, which I put in quotes because it's all spiritual. But sometimes it can feel like, okay, we're disconnected with God. I go to work. I'm an engineer. I'm whatever. How has God used that to help you to grow in your faith as well? And how have you cultivated a walk with Jesus during your day job?
It goes back to my Christian radio station. I listen to that a lot of times at my work just because that's what I can do. I have different people that I can just say, hey, when they're having a bad day, let's just pray about it. And we also designed prayer cards and we wrote everybody's name and a couple other Christians. We just passed the cards back and forth and we pray daily for those people within our company, but
that's cool. Like that. That's cool. So you've got some fellowship there with some other believers there. Yeah. So very cool. Any other thoughts from one of you?
I think God has used my work as probably one of the things to get my attention more than anything, whether it was when I was teaching or as a new mom or now getting to be home and homeschooling. Like, those are the times that my desperation maybe comes out the most, and I'm like, God, I can't do this. I can't. Mm-hmm. Whether in all of those jobs to do that, that's usually the tool God uses most quickly to get my attention. Like, no, you can't. You need me to help you with this and walk you through this. And so, while the task itself might not be, a spiritual thing. It sure gets my attention when I just can't do it by myself. I need God's strength to speak words in kindness and not what runs around in my head that would not be good to have coming out of my mouth, and or to ask for forgiveness when that does come out of my mouth. But so I think the work that He's given me to do and all of the different types of work that they are is usually showing me my need for dependence on Him.
So. Amen. Amen. One last question for all three of you. Maybe in a couple of sentences, what's one piece of advice you would give to all of us that you found to be so foundational for your walk with the Lord? If you could just give us a couple of lines, just say, don't neglect this, don't walk away from this, keep pressing. What would be the one thing you'd want to tell us this morning?
Need to start?
Sure, why not?
I think probably just for me, just starting your day with him, whether that's just for a few minutes, just really focusing on him. And as you go through trials or just a day-to-day life, just to never forget him, just to, you know, even with when you're with people, you can be talking to him in your head. So, yeah, just always keeping him on the forefront.
Yeah, good. Trey or Nancy?
I'd say to keep looking forward instead of comparing to past things, to keep looking forward to what God has for us in this life, but also that we get to be with him forever. That's a good source of encouragement.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Can I do like what Paul does and just put commas? Like, do I have to pick one?
If it's one long sentence, Paul is a good example. So you can have one very long
right.
sentence.
So my one run-on best piece of advice. So this was, I don't know if anyone was at this men's retreat, but there was a guy named David Carr, not Derek, he's the quarterback. David Carr, the wrestler. This was a guy who would get pulled over for speeding if you could get a speeding ticket for how fast you talk. Like, wonderful brother. But one of the things he said just really stuck with me, and it was, when you need to know if you're responding the correct way to something, like, which direction are you going? He said, look at the cross. He said, are you going towards the cross or are you running away from the cross? It was just so simple, just so profound in that simple. So I've been doing that a lot. It's like, okay, well, what am I doing when, you know, I sin? Do I confess and go to the Lord, or am I like cowering and trying to hide and not go to my brothers in my community group? So that was really, really big. And then my comma is, If you like this enough, you'll get a tattoo of it. But Fitz, a dear brother, did this, and he just put the time is now in a tattoo. It's a really neat one. Check out his arm sometime. But
so getting tattoos is part of your advice for us to walk with Jesus. Is that what you're saying?
That's what the
okay,
tattoo pastor heard.
We're going to delete that from the recording. But
but yeah, the time is now. So if you're like, hey, I really need to work on getting in the Word. I really need to work on prayer. Get a brother or sister just to help you and just do it today. Don't delay.
Amen. Well, I appreciate you three. You guys have been good examples to me and friends to me and my wife for all these years. And I want to say a lot of good things have been shared this morning, and I recognize many of us often, probably all of us at least sometimes, find it difficult to stay consistent in these practices that they've been sharing. And that's just part of our challenge. 1 Peter 2, verse 11, a verse I've been thinking about. He says, Peter says, I urge you, brothers, as aliens and strangers in this world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. And I want to, that can be sound discouraging, but to recognize, oh, it's hard because there's a war. And that's okay, but God is the great warrior. Jesus Christ is going to come back as the king, the great warrior. And we, if you know Jesus, you're on the winning side. And just that we would keep going. If you've failed 100 times, just keep getting back up. Like Trey said, just look to the, don't run towards the cross. Look towards Jesus and not run away. Hebrews 4 tells us to draw near to him in our time of need. And so at the same time, you know, when we're walking with him, sometimes we feel like we do things. We feel like, oh, I can't walk back with God. I don't even want to come on Sunday. I don't want to meet my friends because I feel ashamed. I feel weighted down. My walk with the Lord isn't what it should be. But just, again, run to him. It says, I think it's in Rome, it says, those who trust in him will never be put to shame. And if our hope is in him, we're going to be okay. Christ, he's made us okay. We're okay in him. We're not okay in ourselves, but we're okay in him. And so there was a scripture in John 6, there were many people, Jesus shared some hard things. Many people just turned away and just left Jesus. And so he turned to the 12, Peter and the others, and he said, do you want to leave too? And Peter answered him, I love this, it's at the end of chapter 6, and he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, for we know and believe that you are the Holy One of God. Peter just knew, there's no other place to go. I can run away from the cross, but where's that going to go? Run, let us run to the cross, let us run to find Jesus. He's worth it, following him is worth it, and like these three have walked with Jesus for many years, we just all together, let's do this together. Let's just continue to walk with Jesus. Get back up, keep walking with him. It's worth it. He's worth it. And our Savior's given us much good. So let me close in prayer. Father, you've been so gracious to us, far better than we deserve. While we were still sinners, you sent your Son to die for us. When we were at our worst, while we were sinners, when we were at our worst, when we were worthy of wrath, Ephesians 2 said, we were children of wrath, but you sent your Son. And Lord, when we believed in you, everything changed. Even if it didn't feel like it changed, everything changed in the heavenly places and deep within our soul. You took us from enmity to friendship. You took us from aloneness to adoption, from wrath to peace. You set your Spirit inside us. Father, would you help us more and more learn how to walk with you and help us to do that together. Not to be alone. We're not alone. You're with us, but that we wouldn't be apart from the company of believers, the family of God. Would you help us if we've neglected our journey with you? Would you help us to get right back up and rejoice in you and walk back home like the prodigal son in Luke? And would you empower us with your Holy Spirit to overcome our weaknesses, to empower us? We're just so grateful for your kindness, your patience towards us, and delivering us from the domain of darkness and bringing us into the kingdom of the Son you love, the kingdom of light. We love you and are grateful for you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.